Well, welcome back to Back and Forth with Pope and Nudie. Another long-awaited episode, I know. Pope, how's it going?
It's good. How are you doing, Nudie?
Good. We're coming to you from Bountiful and Vineyard, if I remember right.
Vineyard, Utah.
Pope just got out of the Tesla factory.
Yep, wow. Hard-earned labor. It was a solid 12-hour shift.
And I installed sprinklers, so life's good. Anyways, but we've got more important things to talk about. Exciting stuff for everyone who's been following. Round one of the playoffs is now officially over. And the Utah Jazz, who were not expected to make the playoffs, who were, you know, we lost Hayward, we lost George Hill, our two leading scorers. We lost Joe Johnson, a nice veteran presence. And Boris Diaw, that's not really a loss, but
I miss him emotionally.
But all that aside, we won our first round playoff series against Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony. And I just, Donovan Mitchell is where it starts and ends, honestly. Pope, did you watch the game?
So I watched every game except I only watched very few parts of the last game. I couldn't take it. Also, I was at work for the start of game five, and then right when I turned it on, the OKC's comeback started. So I was emotionally traumatized from that, so I didn't want to jinx it.
Yeah, game five was terrible, but...
It really, like you said, I mean, it really does start and end with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, big picture, I think at the start of the season, we did a season preview pod, I remember, I think. We're right back where we were. Like, we only won two less games. We won a first-round series. I mean, this was the best-case scenario we presented at the start of the season. Like, well, we're going to have no scoring, but maybe we'll get back in the playoffs. Like, that was kind of best-case scenario. I think. And here we are.
And here we are. And, you know, going back to that time, this is what's funny. I was listening to it. I liked the Donovan Mitchell pick. I think we both liked it, and we thought, he's good on defense, and that'll be great for us. And I remember when they signed Royce O'Neal, and I think I said, like, who on earth is that guy? But look at that. Look what he's done. But Mitchell has just been incredible. So for those of you who didn't watch, 38 points was his game six total, including he had 22 points in the third quarter. And he outscored Westbrook. He outplayed George and Carmelo. Carmelo wasn't too hard to outplay, but still, he outplayed both of them. And it was incredible. It's honestly, and it's been so fun to see the national media get so excited about a Jazz player.
I know.
Because, like, Gobert, people like, and they say, like, oh, yeah, he's tough on defense. And last year with Hayward, they'd say, like, oh, yeah, Hayward's great, but it was more about the free agency going to Boston. Like, it's a different feel this year with Donovan Mitchell, honestly.
It really is. I mean, we've always wanted that star player. That was what was his name? Gordo Haywood. I don't remember.
Haywood. Yeah, something like that.
Gordon Giracek
is who you're thinking.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Memon Okur. We always wanted someone to actually be a star on our team. You know, Will was the closest we had to that for a while. I mean, and Donovan Mitchell's gonna be that if he's not that already. You know what I mean?
Just
someone who just can take over a game and dominate it. Like, that's what he can do.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
wasn't he like four for four from the three in the third quarter or something insane?
Something like that. Yeah, I think he was 8 for 10 in the third quarter overall.
That's insane.
And like 4 for 4 from three. And some of those moves, I mean, honestly, those highlights were just insane. Like,
yeah,
there was one where he drove in, did a spin move on Carmelo. Carmelo, like, kind of read it okay. Mitchell pump faked, got him in the air, dodged between him. Paul George came over, and then he did, like, this scoop layup with a little English off.
It was filthy.
It just looks – it looks crazy. And George, after – I don't know if you saw George post-game, like, his post-game thing, but he just – you know, he talked about how great – Donovan Mitchell is, and I think he said, I'm proud of him. You know, I knew he worked hard, and I knew he had heart, and it's been great to see him, like, progress even more. And so I think that's just,
it's hard to get,
I don't want to, like, put too much pressure, but I do at the same time.
Sure.
But, like, he looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on Wells or have too high expectations for whatever that means. But he's freaking good. But I mean, you just watch him, and you know, the two things I think, the two fears I would have about him offensively is that, oh, he just has this bag of tricks, and once he's out of the bag of tricks, then he doesn't have anything left. I don't know, he's Brandon Roy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that. It seems like he attacks players very deliberately. He goes at Melo in very specific ways in that series. I mean, he has a bottomless bag of tricks, but it also seems like he's using them very deliberately at the right times. So it's not just blind, just I'm going to drive in and do some crazy stuff. Like, there's actual thought behind it and basketball IQ to it.
Yeah, he's very controlled in what he does. I mean, even comparing Exum, who I like Exum, you know, he hasn't panned out as well as we would have hoped, injuries and things like that. But like watching Exum play, he's got that athletic ability, but he's a little out of control. Whereas Mitchell just, he knows when to accelerate, when to sit back. It's just incredible to watch. It really is a fun thing to watch. And one of my favorite things from this first round series, is he said in one of his post-game press conferences that after each game, like after game one, he called veterans around the league who are in the playoffs and who aren't, and he called them and said, hey, how would you guard me in game two? And he was getting feedback from veterans trying to figure out, like, well, what do I need to adjust for? Like, what are you going to try and throw at me?
Right.
And he didn't say who that was. I would assume Chris Paul got a text because he worked out with Paul and Paul George before
the
draft.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it was. But either way, the fact that he even wants to reach out and like figure that out, I thought that was just incredible.
I know.
Like you said, he knew how to switch onto people. I saw a really funny tweet, and someone said Donovan Mitchell every time he saw Mitchell or Carmelo Anthony switch on him, and it's a meme of that guy on SpongeBob saying, "How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?"
Sure.
It was too good for me.
I don't know if we're gonna. I don't know if we're gonna hit like peak old man more than describing memes on this podcast. But
so, have you ever read the GIF?
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. I could talk about Donovan Mitchell all day. The last thing, there's a lot to say because he's a rookie and he's amazing. I mean, I just will agree with you that he has a drive and I mean, some of that stuff I think is sometimes just meaningless stuff. Like, oh, he's just so committed to, he's, you know, a real coach's son type player. Just really a gym rat. Oh, yeah. First one to come in, last one to leave, like platitudes. But Donovan Mitchell really does seem like he focuses on learning, and there are multiple reports from multiple different sources about just how he absorbs film really quickly, that a coach will identify something in film and he'll apply it like the next game kind of thing. And that's coming from multiple in Jazz sources, outside Jazz sources, from various like NBA reporter podcasts I listen to. So he just has that IQ. He's got a bag of tricks, and he's committed enough on defense that he can just be an all-around asset for the future that I could not be more excited for.
Oh, yeah. And my last two cents, I'll just say, there's an ESPN article that came out where they sat in a film session with Quinn Snyder, Johnny Bryant, and Donovan Mitchell. And it's awesome. It's cool insight to see how that went. But, he's great. Article. But, you know, in the first round, Mitchell was the most impressive. But Rudy Gobert, I think, you know, since he's come back from injury, but especially this playoff series, I mean, his defense, it's our team runs best when he is in the game. It's just his defense is just incredible. It's a whole different game plan. It forces the other team to change up entirely what they're trying to do just because he's in the game, just because the threat of him being in the paint is there. And watching that this series and watching him battle with Steven Adams, who I was really worried. I thought Adams was going to muscle him up a little bit.
And he did a fair amount.
And there were game five.
Especially in the earlier games. Trouble.
Yeah. But even though Gobert wasn't the offensive threat that Mitchell is, his defense is, I mean, you could make an argument that he was the MVP just based on defensive presence alone.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, that game five, the game five comeback from OKC was a perfect storm of stuff, and we choked. But mainly it was that just we didn't have Gobert.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, one thing that it's been written about a lot as well, that the Favors-Gobert lineups, historically regular season, weren't very good until we obviously started our winning streak at the end of the season. But even this season, like half of this wave this season and previous years where we tried that lineup, it had not been good at all. But it was, yeah. I mean, I can't remember what the defensive rating for it was in the playoffs, but it was insane.
Yeah, it really is.
But just that lineup, Gobert just dominated the paint, and then Favors just was the piece that we needed around Gobert to kind of roam around, but also defend those players that Gobert wasn't quick enough to go out to. We just smothered people with that.
Yeah, and I think, exactly. And I think a positive for me from this series, the two games we lost, the game five was horrific and sad.
The two games we lost,
Paul George shot 75% from the three-point line and, like, had this insane, like, just, like, unreal shooting percentage.
Yeah.
And the game five, Russell Westbrook did the same thing where he just had this unreal, like, 48 points, whatever it was, triple-double. Like, it took two insane offensive performance from their stars for them to win two games. And even those two games, we only lost by, like, whatever it was, 8 points or something. And so I think that's just, again, a credit to the Jazz defense that, you know, they kind of gambled and said, you know what, we're going to stick on you man-to-man, and if you beat us, then we'll live with it, but you're going to have to use your whole team if you really want to have a chance. I don't know. I just thought it was impressive. And leading into that, I guess, is Quinn Snyder. This whole thing is from him. This whole idea of that's the cliche thing they keep saying, that the strength of our team is the team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, and Snyder's the one pulling the strings. He made excellent adjustments. He changed his offensive game plan and started attacking the corner three a little bit more, or at least, you know, running offensive sets to get that open corner three. He put the ball in Mitchell's hand quite a bit more in the playoffs. Last night, in the second quarter, before Donovan Mitchell had his insane 8-for-10 shooting,
mm-hmm.
Snyder went up to him and said, "Hey, you're going to go off, and we're going to win the game."
Yeah.
And Mitchell was like, "Okay, sweet," and he did it. And whereas on the other hand, Billy Donovan, I mean, did he even coach, or was he just like on the bench the whole time? I don't know.
I don't want to spend too much time analyzing Thunder. It's weird. I mean, they have Carmelo Anthony, who is just a negative no matter what he does.
Yeah.
But I mean, whether it's due to money, like financial pressures due to how much they're paying him, like it feels like he kind of has to play him a little bit, though obviously as the series went on he got benched more and more, but it definitely didn't seem like that would be one thing. One of my slight knocks against the Jazz, especially in game five and some of six, is that their offense just seemed like pass, jab step shot, like rebound, pass shot kind of stuff. Like, there wasn't a lot of flow to it. But still, sometimes that seemed like that would depend, you know, especially off like a Steven Adams screen. Like, how do you fight through that? How does Gobert close out on that? But it seemed like that would get us too often when their offense really was just, hey, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, make something happen. And I mean, they're amazing players. They can make stuff happen. But sometimes I think that was, especially in game five, obviously, that worked too well against us.
Yeah. But, and I guess I'll take the argument of saying, I think that's kind of what Quinn Snyder wants. I think in his idea is, like, if you're going to settle for jump shots, we will gladly let you take that. I think he plays percentages. And he's talked about that this year with Rubio, where he's worked with Rubio on not, like, jumping every passing lane for a steal, but understanding the percentages for the game and being like, well, you know, what's better in this scenario? Do I really need the steal, or should I force him to take a bad shot later in the shot clock, you know? So I agree. We do need to get better at that, especially with Houston coming up. But I think some of that was a little game plan from him.
Sure. And I guess my criticism would be, I agree with you. Like, those are the kind of shots. I mean, the Thunder are not a good offensive team. Like, force them into those shots for sure. I guess my criticism is less of the game plan and more of, I think, we're an amazing defensive team. They're just a little too – and I guess it's hard to be criticizing our defense or, like, top three or whatever. But there's just a few times where I saw, especially Ingles and Rubio, seem to just not close out, not get there quick enough on a three or something like that.
Yeah, and I think they acknowledge that. I agree with you on that. I'll say that.
I just think that was part of the, and maybe I'm just too traumatized by game five. that was just the main thing I see is just like, they just, if they just got an inch on those three pointers in game five, it just went in and that just destroyed us. But I think you're right. Just long-term seven games, we can live with that. The only other thing I would just say is I think, especially in game five, I think that still illustrates like this is an incredibly young team. Like, I mean, obviously Ingles is old, but I mean,
yeah, how old is Rubio?
He's like 37, 38, 39. I don't know. I mean, Rubio is 27. Gobert is only 25. Donovan's 17 or whatever. It's an incredibly young team still.
Freshman year.
And I mean, they still make mistakes, especially like the closing minutes of game six. I think there are just a few mistakes. The no call at the very end from Gobert on Paul George was a smart no call, but also should have been called. And that was just like maybe not the exact play we wanted right there, kind of thing. And I think, I guess overall, I don't think this is entirely negative. Just because I mean we're so young. Donovan Mitchell's a genius. Like, how are we even here? You know, like it's amazing that we're here. It's awesome. We're playing with house money at this point. You know, like. Whatever happens against Houston, great. But I just think we still have a ways to go. We're a young team, and we'll still keep growing, I think, which is cool. Yeah. It's awesome we're here already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And going back to kind of what we started off as, it's awesome that this year, you know, last year it was awesome to get to the second round, and it seemed like, oh, yeah, this team is starting to get hot. But, you know, there was never any hope that we could beat the Warriors, I felt like.
Yeah,
And there's to an extent that is with Houston, but there's so much excitement around the team that I think people are willing to overlook and say, like, you know, it's a young team. Who knows what'll happen? But if not this year, for sure next year, they look like, you know, a team that could really, really like come into its own. I don't know. It's just it's an exciting feeling right now to be.
Yeah, it is. Sky's the limit. I mean, and a lot of that's due to and we'll talk about Houston specifically a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
And we talk about the future later. I have a lot of thoughts on weird, random.
We'll wait for
trades
the series,
and stuff.
The next series to play out. Before
yeah,
we jump into
we'll wait before
stuff.
We're in the after the Western Conference Finals and we beat the Warriors.
Once
in six
we
or
win
whatever.
The NBA championship and Jerry Sloan walks on stage to accept it for us, holding Gail Miller's hand,
I would cry.
And Malone and Stockton are in the audience, both crying.
Greg Ostertag is looking down from the rafters for some reason.
Greg Ostertag from the rafters. He's drop kicking a basketball off the rafters.
But I think a lot of that, the sky's the limit optimism is just, I mean, Donovan can only go up at this point, it seems like. I think even Gobert is going to get better. I think the more Rubio adjusts to their system, the more he's going to thrive.
And again, like Rubio, he started getting really good. And then in this series, I thought he played, for the most part, really well. There were a few times where there was a few things here and there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that game three and game four at home against Westbrook was like
magical. It was really fun.
That
was really fun.
Hand. Oh, yeah. I loved it. But, yeah, so it's exciting. That being said, there are some issues. We've kind of alluded to some of them with the defensive lapses that the Jazz need to correct for this next round. You know, the 25-point collapse, that can't happen. You can't be up 25 on a team and lose that. In the third quarter... And lose that game. And I know Gobert got the five fouls. Favors got five fouls. We were playing Epe Udo. And, and it's Westbrook and George. It's these guys who could be in the Hall of Fame someday, and they're awesome. But you can't, I mean, there's no way you could blow that sort of lead.
Yeah.
If we were to somehow get a 25-point lead on Houston, you better put your foot on the gas and just keep going, because they hit three. The rate that they hit threes, you won't make it. You know, they can turn that into – they can win that game. So that was bad to see in the first round.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that in this upcoming round, I mean, you can't give Houston an inch or they're going to just take you and run with you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you give that 30-point, 40-point, 50, whatever quarters they can pull off in just a couple of hit shots, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of – and I think maybe that's just a lack of experience. I mean, even for last year's team where we felt like we'd arrived, like that was our first playoff series, you know. Like
Right.
This is only Gobert's second ever time being in the playoffs. You know, this is everyone's. Yeah. I mean, this is Rubio's first. Everyone's still super young with that kind of stuff. That kind of experience of that kind of failure is good long term, especially with a coach of like Quinn, who I think can. We're on first name basis. That's what I call him. Mr. Snyder, who I think can coach us up out of that kind of thing and can use that as a good teaching moment and work through, just demolish the film on that. But right. Houston's going to kill us if we give them that kind of room, if we get up high, which who knows?
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, exactly. If we're up 25 in Houston, that'll be awesome. But exactly. So that's got to fix. And I think Quinn will fix it. And again, I'll say if I'm going to be Mr. Positive.
Sure.
The Jazz, since they've gone on this huge winning streak the second half of the season, they've lost back-to-back games once. And that was the last game of the season against Portland and game one of the series. So that's pretty impressive. I think Quinn doesn't usually allow teams to beat him the same way twice, if that makes sense. Like, he breaks down the film, he makes a good game plan, and it'll just be a chess match, really, to see.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike D'Antoni's an awesome coach, but I think the system he does run of just, like, get up and down as fast as you can for the players he has is, like, perfect.
I think there's a lot of...
Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and then their big guy, Capella, being, like, a running the big floor big guy. Like, I personally don't think D'Antoni's an awesome coach.
Sure.
But... he does his system. It work. They have the right players to run it. It's similar to like the Steve Nash days in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I think Capella Gobert is like sneakily like. Well, I don't know if that's really sneakily. Like, I think sure people are talking about that. I think that's probably one of the most important matchups. Is Capella is. I mean, obviously they're just gonna kill you with screens and switch offs and just passing around the perimeter, but Capella really unlocks them just in that they have someone who's kind of dominant in the paint down there. And especially with, you know, when they really need a bucket, like Chris Paul can just go up and do some Chris Paul stuff and get a layup, you know. Or just, you know, get a weird switch and then have a mid-range jumper. And Capella on Gobert, like, that's really going to be key. If we can shut down Capella, then that just opens up a lot of more room for us, especially with Favors could then be able to roam out more as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, so if you look at Capella, I agree with you. I think that's the matchup to watch. Because I think, you know, Paul's going to do what he does.
Yeah.
Like, last year against the Clippers... Paul wasn't, even though the Jazz won, Paul was really good in that series.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't have anyone that could really keep up with him at the time. He kind of could, like you said, he could do whatever he wanted. You know, maybe he didn't take over the game all the time like he should have, but he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And James Harden, one way or another, he's going to score. He's either going to get 25 free throws or he's going to hit 10 three-pointers, but he's going to score. But yeah, Capella... If you look at how he did in the first round, this is his rebounding against Timberwolves. 12 rebounds, 16, 11, 17, 15. You know, and then he's shooting. He had 24 points one game, 26 points another, 4 blocks. Like, he's kind of this guy that people don't talk about enough, but he actually, the role, he fills his role on that team, and he plays it very well. And so it'll be interesting to see, similar to how Steven Adams was this series, is Gobert going to be able to block him out, box him out? Is he going to be able to keep up with him running the floor? Is he going to be able to get some points against him or get him in foul trouble, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I think, yeah, you got to – Rubio's going to be out with an injury, and so the Jazz are going to have to find some way to exploit some sort of weakness if there is one for Houston.
Out of the four times we played the Rockets this year, all three of them were kind of pre-winning streak, and I think we're obviously a different team since then.
Yeah.
And the last time was a lower scoring game. It was tighter, but I mean the Rockets still did their like, hey, we're just going to score like twice as many points as you in the third quarter or whatever kind of thing. So they still demolished us. You know, they still beat us handily. I think they won by like 10 or 11. And Donovan Mitchell didn't have an amazing game, but that just showed that we can still slow him down enough I think they scored 130 on us at one game this season. And it was much closer. It was I'm looking at it. It was 96-85 the last game. So still won handily, but much tighter and closer. And clearly our defense had an impact on the game.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big thing this series, especially when Gobert sits out. Because the benefit Houston has with Paul and Harden both being there is they can keep one of them on the court at all times, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, they can rotate their minutes and stagger them a little bit, but they'll always have at least one of those guys on the court. And in the Game 5 against the Thunder, when Gobert was playing, they had an 89.5 defensive rating, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, that is so low. Like, when the league average is, what, like 100.3 or something or whatever? It is insane. But then when Gobert went out with his foul trouble, the Jazz had 133 or something rating. So that's, you know, when he comes out, if Favors is the guy that's coming in, or if they're playing a smaller lineup, or if Udo has to play or anything, you know, they've got to be able to make sure they can still lock down on defense and make it as hard as possible. I think that lower scoring game is what the Jazz are going to want, because if you get into a shooting match with those guys, you know, you can't win.
Yeah, and as has also been said, the Rockets are also this year. I'm a little bit higher on D'Antoni than you are. Because I think especially this year, they're just much better offensively. Like, they're top 10 defense this year.
That's true. That's a good point.
And a lot of that's due to, you're adding Chris Paul. He's pretty good at defense. And Capella just growing as just a blocking, rebounding machine. We're going to need Donovan Mitchell to do amazing Donovan Mitchell things. I think, obviously, in the Thunder series, we could scrape by with him getting, 20, and then Ricky Rubio going off or something like that. We're going to need him to get 25, 30. We just are. Because the one thing I'm especially worried about is I just doubt. I mean, who's probably going to be on Ingles? Ariza, I would think.
Is Ariza black, though? He's been injured. Is he back for this series?
Oh, is he? I thought he was. Maybe I'm a crazy person.
Might be. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a lot of the Houston first round.
I watched a couple games. Probably Ariza. I think Ingles might get locked down would be one of my main fears. When that happened, when Ingles wasn't adding at least a couple threes, our offense was just really suffered in the Thunder series, because we need that sort of outlet to draw pressure on it. And believe me, based on my yelling and my television, Jay Crowder certainly can't produce that from the three consistently. So we're going to need Ingles to make a couple shots, and we're going to need Donnie to go off and just kind of stretch their defense enough that we can get some points in.
Yeah, I know. And Ingles, that's why it's going to be tough, because I will say, sorry, jumping back to the Thunder series, the one thing I thought was interesting from game one, I don't know why they stopped doing it, honestly, is Billy Donovan started Paul George on Joe Ingles, not on Mitchell, and they took away. And Ingles is kind of that glue guy for the Jazz, where he's a good ball handler, he can make some smart passes, he'll hit the open three. And yeah, they shut him down, and we kind of got stagnant. And Ingles was not very good on the road in that series. At home he was much better, but like on the road he just wasn't, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't.
So, it'll be interesting. I think, well, they'll put Ariza. And Luke and Mbamute or whatever, he's coming back for game one is the rumor.
Oh.
And he's – not that he's not a great offensive player, but defensively, he's a good defender.
Yeah.
And so it'll be I'll be interested to see what they end up doing with that whole rotation and lineup. Like, are they going to only take out – are they going to put Ariza on Ingles, Paul on Mitchell, and then Mbamute, like, on Favors or something? Or are they going to put Paul on Rubio – shift Ariza down to Mitchell, or put, you know, or do
something
like that.
Paul would have to go on Mitchell, I would think, and then maybe hide Harden on. Well, I guess you can't hide Harden. You don't need to hide Harden on Rubio anymore. Hide Harden on whoever replaces Rubio, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and this is one thing from the regular season. Like I said, I haven't watched enough playoffs of Houston to know, but I thought something interesting that D'Antoni did. Speaking to your defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like their defense improvement, is he started hiding Harden in the post, which seems weird, but he'd put him on their big guy And then Harden would get all these steals where he just like poked the ball from behind him. Like he was just kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting because it was a, like, no one's pretending Harden is the best defender in the world, but it was interesting that he put him in this situation where it's like, look, you just have to stand there and just kind of like, you don't have to move very much. Just poke at it a little bit. You don't have to chase some guy around screens. I mean, that worked. And so I'll be interested to see if, is he going to hide Harden like on Gobert or Favors?
Yeah.
And like have Capella just kind of roam around, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be a lot to go into it. And honestly, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. My dream, just my nostalgic dream, is just as John Stockton hit the three over the Rockets to send us to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
David Stockton will hit that three.
It's a good old school rivalry. Jazz Rockets, it's a fun old school thing. Oh,
yeah. Going back to, like, yeah, the days of Barkley and Drexler and all those guys. And Olajuwon, you know, and Malone, Stockton, all those guys.
Yeah.
And then even like the Williams and Boozer years with Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming and Luis Scola. Like, we played them like 3 years in a row in the playoffs, I felt like.
07 and 08.
Yeah. And so there's been some good history there.
And I think this year, if we're just getting to the end of the matchup talk, my official prediction is Rockets in five. I think we're a strong team. I think Rubio being out hurts us. But I think the Rockets match up pretty well against us. I think Capella can do enough to negate some of Gobert. And I think that plus Harden and Paul's just wizardry, I think that enough is enough to kind of take away some of the impact of Gobert. Without that, I think our defense just isn't going to be as solid, and they're going to be able to go off against us. Not as much, and I think we're still an amazing defensive team, but I think the Rockets have enough pieces to kind of unlock us a little bit. I don't think we have the firepower to keep up.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I'm picking Houston in six. That's more my fandom. I was on Houston in five, and then like, my Jazz pride was like, no, the Jazz are going to win too somehow. Houston's a good team. They're deep. They play within their system, and they execute it very well on offense. They've got a good mix of like Harden in his prime with like veteran Chris Paul and veteran Joe Johnson, and then this Clint Capella young guy. Eric Gordon's kind of this middle, somewhat in his prime, somewhat getting, you know, it's like they have this good mix of a roster where it's not like San Antonio where everyone's 3,000 years old, and it's not like Minnesota where it's like, yeah, you're not quite there yet. You're close, but you're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think Houston's good. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think this is a bad matchup for us.
Yeah.
And it sounds funny to say this because obviously Golden State's the defending champion and they're so good, but I think we match up a little bit better with Golden State personnel wise because like Draymond Green hasn't been super effective against the Jazz this year, and I for whatever reason we played them really well in the regular season. Obviously regular season's completely different to
especially playoffs, for the Warriors. Yeah.
Especially for the Warriors. But coasting. I you know, with a Steph Curry coming back from injury, for whatever reason, it felt somewhat better. I didn't think we'd beat the Warriors either, but it felt a little different. And I think Houston just presents a lot of matchup issues, not only offensively but defensively, like we've talked about. But, you know, it could get really bad, but I still think the Jazz are going to be competitive. And the bottom line is, like we've already said, we weren't even supposed to be in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and we're not supposed to be here. It's awesome we are. Like, I mean, whatever comes of this, like, great. Like, it's not a disappointment if we don't lose to the Rockets. Like, we're not going to beat the Rockets, you know? And I just think – and maybe this will tie in, you know, probably at some point we'll do a future – what we should, you know, kind of summer preview pod. But
right.
I think obviously just offensively, even if Donovan Mitchell goes off 35, almost, you know, 40 points or anything, the Rockets are going to get that too, because even if Harden's cold, Paul's going to step up. Even if Paul is cold, like Aaron Gordon is going to make like three or four in a row or something like that.
Yeah, Eric Gordon's a streaky shooter, but he's good when he's on.
Yeah, and I just think they have enough people who can get on when they need it. And we really have – I mean, Ingles can go off at home, but really Donovan Mitchell's the only – and obviously Rubio in that one game. But Donovan Mitchell's the only person who can really just light it up for us. And, I mean, I think that's part of our future, is that if we're really going to hit the next level, we need a super solid second option. And maybe that'll – you know, maybe we'll get that from within our team. If someone keeps getting better, maybe we'll get it from out. Who knows? But I just think the Rockets have enough people who can outgun us that Donovan Mitchell, just Hail Mary threes and amazing drives, can only do so much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But – yeah, no, I.
But I mean, like, what a bummer!
But
we were like way below 500. We were like 10 games below 500, and now we're playing the Rockets in the playoffs. Like, oh no, that's terrible, you know?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, 19-28 overall, in like what was it, January?
Yeah.
like this year, we were 19-28, and.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I texted you about it, but I, at some point in January, I was like, all right, let's tank. Let's do this. Tank it up.
Were you a tank? You were on the tank train, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, how could you not be? We were 19-28.
Yeah,
it just made sense to do it at that point. Like, just give Donovan Mitchell all the minutes and just lose games. But I mean, I'd rather be here than there, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this playoff experience, again, win or lose, probably lose, against Rockets. The fact that we are getting to the second round of the playoffs, we had a tough physical series in round one. Next year only can be beneficial to us.
Yeah.
With Mitchell with his second year, Gobert in his third playoffs, in his third second round series, hopefully next year. And Ingles, same thing. Rubio in his second playoffs. Like, Quinn Snyder in his third playoffs, you know, getting ready. I think it's – the future is bright. The Rockets are good. I'll be watching Favors and what he can do in the series. You know, he's kind of this, yeah. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about like a summer pod.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
so what do we so do are, with Favors? So but, are a lot of other teams going to be watching Favors in this playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. And so, but it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. And it's a great time to be alive, be a Jazz fan. It's just,
I mean, how good is Donovan Mitchell? How good is Donovan Mitchell?
It's Dennis Lindsay, that was like the best trade. Trey Lyles, haha. like we traded Trey Lyles for Donovan Mitchell. and I guess what? We lost a second round pick or something? I don't know. Like,
yeah, well,
Donovan Mitchell
we
for Trey Lyles?
And,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, we give him our pick and Trey Lyles for their pick.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's and like 13th pick. I mean, but Tatum is good. Fultz looks like he could be good. Dennis Smith Jr. Like, there's good. This is a good draft year. But Mitchell has just been, oh, man, what a time to be alive.
It's amazing. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Yeah. But
all
we'll
right,
try
well,
and get
you've
another
been
pod
You've
up.
Been listening to Donovan Mitchell with Pope and Nudie.
Donovan
it's been
Mitchell,
a good episode.
Mitchell. Spider Mitchell.
Yeah.
We'll try and get another one up later in the series and see how we're doing.
We'll do a mid-series or a post-series rematch.
Hopefully it's like a pleasant one.
Yeah, wow, we swept the Rockets. I will say, here's my hot take of the episode.
Okay, this is the hot take.
I love Donovan Mitchell with every fiber of my being. I'm not 100% in on the Spider-Man nickname thing. I'll say it.
Whoa.
I'll say it.
Whoa.
I mean, maybe as he becomes a superstar, Donovan Mitchell, please believe me, I love you. Like, as he becomes a superstar, I'm able to work out more, but I'm not 100% in right now.
Donovan Mitchell, since I know you listen to this podcast, you can have whatever nickname you freaking want. I don't even care. You just do whatever you need to do, man. Don't listen to Pope.
I'm just saying there's like a world of like Donnie, Big Don. There's a world of nicknames available to him. Just let's, you know, run this. If you want to do that Spider-Man thing, more power to you. Anyways, it's my random hot take of the day. You're welcome.
You're welcome, world. Well, yeah, thanks for listening. go on and enjoy this series, and we'll try and catch up with you later on and give you updates on what's going on in Houston. So see you later, Pope.
See you later, Nudie. Have fun, everyone. Go Jazz.